We lived by schedules and priorities, and lateness was considered a sin because, my father pointed out to us, when you're late, you are robbing somebody else of his most precious commodity.
For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about God's timing. I have a tiny little clock on my desk, and it has a picture of a hand, and it says, "My times are in thy hand." That's taken from the Psalms, and I have always been very conscious of time. I grew up in a family where punctuality was a doctrine. My parents were both very punctual. When my mother said that breakfast was going to be at 7:10 in the morning, she did not mean 7:12 or 7:15. In fact, she probably meant 7:09. When my father left for the office, it was with the exact number of minutes in mind that it was going to take him to get from our house on foot to the railroad station to catch the commuter train. We lived by schedules and priorities, and lateness was considered a sin because, my father pointed out to us, when you're late, you are robbing somebody else of his most precious commodity. But because of the fact that I am so conscious of time, I have a tremendous desire to know the will of God now. I don't want to waste time, as it were. And of course, it's never a waste of time to wait on God. Nothing could be more spiritually nourishing than learning to wait upon God. And I'm sure that because I like to have everything punctual and everything done now and everything laid out in schedules and engagement books ahead of time, God has chosen not to allow me to know ahead of time many of the things that I want to know. He keeps me waiting when I'm praying about something, sometimes to what looks to me like the screaming edge of the precipice. And then, again and again and again, I've seen it happen. Precisely when I need to know, God shows me. We've been studying spiritual principles in the life of Jim Elliot from his biography, Shadow of the Almighty. He had been praying for several years about the mission field, where he should go, what kind of work he should do. And he began to correspond with two missionaries, one in India and one in Latin America, asking God to guide him through what they wrote back. And he wrote to his friend Pete Fleming, "To me, Ecuador is simply an avenue of obedience to the simple word of Christ. There is room for me there, and I am free to go." Jim had been corresponding with Dr. Tidmarsh of Ecuador, and the way Dr. Tidmarsh described the need of jungle work among Quechua Indians rang a bell with Jim. He felt, this is it. This is God's call. And so, as he says in this letter, it's simply an avenue of obedience to the simple word of Christ. The simple word of Christ being, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So having committed himself to Ecuador, he was then invited to come to the East Coast to hold meetings in New York and New Jersey and Pennsylvania, acquainting the believers in those areas with the work that he was planning to do and enlisting prayer support. I lived in New Jersey, so this was an opportunity for Jim to visit me again. There had been a long period in which we had not seen each other at all, more than a year, and my heart leaped when he told me that he was going to be having some meetings in the East. The trouble was that it seemed to me at that time that God was directing me to go to the South Seas, and I was corresponding with the South Seas mission. When Jim came, we had opportunity to have several conversations, but there was no indication of marriage for either of us yet. And Jim had memorized a poem of Amy Carmichael's, which happened to be one that I too had memorized. And shall I pray thee change thy will, my Father, until it be according unto mine? But no, Lord, no, that never shall be. Rather, I pray thee, blend my human will with thine. I pray thee, hush the hurrying, eager longing. I pray thee, soothe the pangs of keen desire. See in my quiet places wishes thronging. Forbid them, Lord, purge though it be with fire. And work in me to will and do thy pleasure. Let all within me, peaceful, reconciled, tarry content, my well-beloved's leisure. At last, even as a weaned child, there were certainly times when I wanted to pray that the Lord would change his will. But this was the deepest prayer of my heart, that he would rather blend my human will with his. And as Jim was on his way home to the West Coast from that series of meetings in the East, he wrote this: I thank my God. Life has been made so rich, so full for me, sea-like, but having no ebb, nature, body, soul, friendship, family, all full for me, and then what many have not, the capacity to enjoy. And he said, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. The past is gone, and I am glad, both for its going and for the way it went. God has led in and through and out by the best possible route, we may believe. I am particularly conscious of the Christian's right to expect events to be exactly timed for good. As for God, his way is perfect. Do you expect events to be exactly timed for good? That's what it means to trust God. He is the blessed controller of all things. He's the one who created time. That's a concept I've never been able to really get through my head, but the Bible says time shall be no more in heaven, and presumably space shall be no more. These are concepts which are infinitely beyond my comprehension, and yet I believe that that's true. They are creatures of God, time and space, and my times are in his hands. I do believe that things are going to be exactly timed for good. To bring it up to date, illustration in my own life, my daughter and her husband live in California. They've been paying a very steep rent. They've been trying to find out from their landlord whether he might consider selling them the house that they have been renting for the past year. And he shilly-shallies. One day it's yes, the next day it's no, the next day it's I don't know. Then he says, I'll come over Thursday. He doesn't come Thursday. Then he says, well, I'll be there Saturday. We'll discuss the contract. He comes Saturday and he doesn't discuss the contract. And I'm praying, Lord, please meet their need. Please meet it now. And when I get quiet before God, I hear his still small voice, reminding me that Valerie and Walt's times are in his hands too. He knows when they need that house. He knows what they need. I get many letters from readers. One of them recently said, how specific is God's will? Have we freedom to choose? Should I pray about what socks to wear? Is the working out of his will dependent upon other people in spite of our obedience to God's will? For example, if others are disobedient? Now there's a tough one, isn't it? Is the working out of God's will in my life dependent upon other people in spite of our obedience? What if my husband is disobedient? What if the landlord is dragging his feet? What if the boss has never really given me a job description? What if the teacher doesn't do what the teacher is supposed to do for my child? Do you believe that God's timing is always perfect? Well, I had to think how to answer the letter. One of the things that I told her was, faith is seeing the will of God unfolding in mysterious ways. And the most perfect example I could give her from the Bible to prove that it's not explainable, it is a mystery, was the crucifixion. Remember that Jesus was put into the hands of evil men. In what way, then, may we say that the salvation of the world was dependent upon wickedness? Was it God's will for him to be crucified? We know that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Was what those men did wicked? The Scripture says it was. He was put into the hands of wicked men. There's a mystery there. Jesus said, "It is necessary that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom they come." We can't harmonize these two things intellectually. We'll never satisfy ourselves on this side of heaven. Trust him. Your times are in his hands. Nothing touches you except through his will. And Jim was praying about the timing of his going to Ecuador. He wrote, "Granted, fate and tragedy, aimlessness and just missing by a hair are part of human experience, but they are not all, and they are not even a major part, even in the lives of men who know no designer and no design. For me, I have seen a keener force yet, the force of ultimate good working through apparent ill. Not that there is rosiness ever. There is genuine ill, struggle, dark-handed, unreasoning fate, mistakes, if-onlys, and all the Hardyisms you can muster." Jim had been reading the bleak novels of Thomas Hardy. "But in them, I am beginning to discover a plan greater than any could imagine. God's timing is never late."
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.